It's now the time of the convention we all look forward to. Brother Michael Balco of Orlando, Florida, is going to make us welcome, and I know he will. Brother Michael.
Thank you, Brother Charles. Good morning, dear brethren. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd like to title our few comments, Receive with Gladness. And as we know, that's what welcome means. So let us receive each other during this convention with gladness. And as I look upon your bright and shining faces, I know you as I are very happy to be here. We're very grateful to our Heavenly Father for this wonderful privilege that He has provided for us to attend this convention. This 1985 Bible Students General Convention at Albion College. For some, this convention will be the first one ever, the first opportunity to attend and to fellowship and to receive spiritual food from this gathering. For others, it has been a special, blessed occasion for many years to attend the convention. Perhaps for 5, 10, 20, or even 30 or more years, we have been privileged to attend the gathering such as this. I know many assembled here can attest to even more years of sitting at the feet of Jesus. And if you have come with the intent to sit at His feet with an openness of heart and mind, a willingness to learn of Him and of God's precious Word, I know you will not be disappointed in any way. From the first discourse this morning by Brother Snyder to the closing one on Thursday evening by Brother Roskowitz, we will have a rich supply of spiritual food which comes directly from God's wonderful storehouse. This can enable us to be uplifted, to be ready to go on and fight a good fight of faith. It can help us to be admonished that we have to live up to our vows of consecration each day, so we can get this wonderful food for thought, so we can grow and develop in a way pleasing to the Heavenly Father, all made possible by His dear Son's example to us of absolute faithfulness in all things. We know that special times have been set for the discussion of subjects such as Armageddon and the Lord's Second Presence. And I'm sure we all agree that we are living in a most momentous time of man's history, when there's fear and doubt and discouragement all through the earth. That's a very important time in the course of the true church, that we have to do all we can each day to serve the Heavenly Father and the truth and the brethren. We have to take hold of the seriousness of our calling, that we can each day look at ourselves and our standing before the Heavenly Father and strive to improve and strive to make ourselves more pleasing to Him. And above all, that we can strive to praise Him who provides all these rich blessings for us. In this harvest of the gospel age, we realize the importance of His second presence. We know that our Master associated this second presence with special events that would transpire in the earth. Yes, even a time of trouble that never was before, an Armageddon. This term that's very familiar to the Bible students today. And it's even now tossed about by world leaders and heads of state and nominal Christians. We know they approach it from a fearful attitude. We know that this is the center of our faith, that everything is in the Lord's hands. He controls everything. And everything is being worked out according to that wonderful plan of the ages. We see in the earth's affairs that here we will discuss during this gathering things that pertain to our daily lives, things that will help to fortify us, that will help to strengthen us, that will increase our faith and our hope and our joy. We realize beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is this grand creator of the universe, the plan of the ages. He's at the helm. Nothing is behind, and nothing is ahead of the time that He has set for the carrying out of this wonderful plan. We have to do our part. We have to be willing each day to sacrifice and lay down our lives in a way pleasing to Him. We have to watch. We have to wait upon the Lord. We know that there are many beautiful lessons that have been brought out upon watching and waiting and striving to be faithful each day. We have to strive faithfully to fulfill our calling and our service to Him. As was mentioned earlier, not just this week, but every single day of our lives, each hour, each day that we're granted and privileged to live by His wonderful grace. Indeed, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And as we're striving to hear more and see more, let's absorb these things and then seek to apply them, of course, in our lives. Since we've met during this past year, we've had many experiences. Some have been filled with joy. Some have been filled with trial and sorrow and testing. And we've been privileged to have set up each day an opportunity to testify to our experiences and our joys and the things that we're going through, because we all want to hear them, because they help to build each of us up. We can share in this wonderful brotherhood that we're privileged to be part of. We can share with one another, help to uplift each other, to bind each other up in the bonds of love and in prayer. We know that we need our Lord to help to keep our feet on the right path, and we also need our brethren to help us to live each day pleasing to the Father. How often for each other flows the sympathizing tear? It's at times like these that we become acutely aware of those that are absent from us. Perhaps our thoughts are with them now. For some, the course in this life has been finished and the sacrifice totally consumed. For others, the desire burns in their hearts to be here with us. But due to varying circumstances, they could not come to Albion and sit this morning with us here at this convention. But we know that they're here in spirit, that they remember the efforts of all the brethren here at this convention. They remember them in prayer. It's important that we remember them and pray for them also. So eagerly each of us who are here will listen. We will strive to digest the Word of God. We will tape record the talks and the testimonies, the Vesper services. We will take notes. We will gather in sweet fellowship so that we can each bring back a part of this convention to those who are unable to come and be with us. We will give to them the things that they have been waiting to hear, Let us each strive to be built up in joy and love, that we can take this with us when we leave. Of course, the book table will be full of good things of God's Word, and all of these too will bring joy to the hungry heart. A heart that is seeking and active and diligently striving to serve the Heavenly Father. One who wants to read and study and grow and develop and mature in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. We know that it's written in Hebrews 10, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, as you see the day approaching. But we have come from all corners of the earth, at great expense of our time and our energy, our finances, and even the comforts of home. But each of us counts these but little things when compared to this wealth that lies ahead, as we meditate, respecting God and His precious Word that's set before us throughout this week and throughout the remainder of our lives. Let us turn our hearts toward the Lord and do so with earnest prayer. We desire each day that His will be done in our lives, and that we seek to know that will and to have that wonderful love of God shed forth. Brethren, we know that it's one thing to have a knowledge of the truth and another to have its spirit. John speaks that we should worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're admonished here to worship Him with an outward manifestation of a reverence for holy things, for good things, which is very pleasing to our Heavenly Father if it is done in a proper manner. And from the right motive. A proper manner, a right motive. We all know that we have to fight a fight each day to keep our flesh down, to keep our motives pure, to have a good conscience, to be loving and kind. So we go to Him in spirit and in truth. And our Lord makes a distinction clear in this text. We must have the proper heart attitude. It's not enough just to have knowledge. The two have to be blended together so that we can go to Him properly with a knowledge and an understanding, with a heart attitude that's totally committed to Him. He reveals things unto us. He grants us a greater measure of the Holy Spirit. But if we don't have love and we don't have compassion, it means little. We must study. We must absorb more, constantly placing more into our leaky vessels. And at the same time, we can cultivate our hearts and our minds, so that they may grow pleasing, ever praising, ever toward that mark that is set before us. We're promised so many wonderful things by our Father. One of those wonderful promises is that He will dwell with us if we desire for Him to do so. Here again, it's telling us we have to have that openness of heart, that willingness to serve and conform and develop. Isaiah 26:3-4, a spirit that is striving to be upright, to be good, to be long-suffering, patient, and kind. This is why we're here. We're striving to develop those fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit. We're striving to be serious in our walk. And also, we're striving to be, as it says, be kind to one another. In Ephesians 4:32, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Of course, these things aren't easy to do in our lives. It takes our total life has to be consumed in working these things out. Each day we strive to do a little more, and then a little more, and then a little more, as the Lord permits. We have to be a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth from 2 Timothy, those familiar words to us all. We are striving to be one who lives for Christ, and we are granted joy and peace and communion if we strive to do this. And all we need to be faithful, we are granted, even unto death. We have to go daily to the Word of God. We have to go there for instruction so we can obtain help to better ourselves spiritually each day. We can go to the Scriptures and attend the meetings for inspiration, to lift up our spirit, to weigh the cost, and then strive to conform our will to His will. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It's also profitable for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And having the Spirit of truth means to then let your light shine among men, that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We have the love and compassion. We don't want to keep it within ourselves. We want to let it out to others. And that's why we greet each other with a holy kiss, with a kind word, with encouragement, with joy, with love. Because this all reflects back to our wonderful Heavenly Father, who was the author of love and compassion and joy and knowledge. So it means to live for Christ, that we can be one who has a present joy in this wonderful communion with Him and with one another, with our brethren, with this wonderful household of faith, our family members who are here beside us and around us. That we can each feel deeply as Paul did. For me to live is to live for Christ, and to die is gain. Certainly a wonderful example of a will totally committed to the Father. Not concerned with personal comfort, what the individual has to give up, but vowed to give it all up to serve Him. This again is why we've journeyed here to this convention, to seek further after truth and righteousness, to be taught, to approach Him and sit at His feet now in this life as we can to receive the wonderful words that will be spoken. Let us live what we believe in our hearts by example. Matthew 5:16. We must take full advantage of our opportunities and use our trials to make us stronger in character, to make us more firm and more full in the truth and the principles of righteousness. All who are here know that each day we are learning important lessons. We learn these in our everyday lives. We learn them especially through our contact at the conventions and at the meetings. And we can take them with us then as we go and apply them. Each of us can see that we're still in the school of Christ, still striving, still striving to be tested as to our loyalty to the Lord. We're being tested so we can strive to be faithful. And our loyalty will be tested in the days and weeks to come. Our loyalty to the Lord, the truth, and the brethren will be tested to see if we are really living up to what we say we're living up to. If we have these things within our hearts and we let them flow out. For we do not know what circumstances we may be faced with tomorrow or the day after. That's why we have to apply ourselves so strongly today, right now. So we can prove our worthiness to Him. And then we know if worthy, be granted a share in those royal things, the heavenly realm, the royal priesthood, to see the Lord face to face. All these things lie ahead of a child who is totally devoted and committed to the Father and His Son, who serves the brethren freely and conforms His will to the Father's will. Let us all rejoice in the things that we have suffered for Christ's sake. Let us endeavor to be more faithful in all respects concerning the truth. You know, in great matters, but also in the little things of life, as was just spoken earlier. In all things we want to be faithful, because our Heavenly Father knows and sees all. During this convention and afterwards, let us count on the privilege to serve the Lord in whatever way that we can, not passing up any opportunity to serve our brethren, taking full advantage of opportunities to speak of the wonderful plan of God, to be of service, to spread love and joy and peace and understanding one to another, and to this groaning creation in which we're working out our salvation and we're living daily in this world with all its vast problems. Let us each strive to absorb the words of the wonderful plan of God that we hear spoken. That we hear them and that we use them to grow and to develop further. So that we may continually examine ourselves so that we can grow and improve our standing before the Father. The wonderful privilege we have of reflecting on our day's activities, of self-examination. And all these things are pointed out in the Scriptures for us to use. Let us give of ourselves. Let us give of our time, our energy, our love, our joy. Whatever we have to give in His service, let us give freely. We can faithfully follow in our Lord's footsteps and continue in this narrow way, remembering that if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. Let us remember how privileged we are to have the opportunity to attend this convention, to be with those of like precious faith, to study, to meditate on His Word, to fellowship, and show forth love one to another, to share in this common joy that we all felt when we walked into this building, or when we saw a familiar face of one of our brethren. And above all, let us each give praise and thanks to Him for making all these things possible to us, the wonderful author of truth. Indeed, truth is a gift from God. As we hunger and thirst for it, let us appreciate His love and His power. Can we receive any blessing from it? Yes, we receive much blessing from this power that's used and exercised on our behalf. And as the children of Israel were instructed each day to gather manna in the wilderness, so that they could be sustained and that they could live. Of course, the child of God in this day and age has to gather a supply each day also of spiritual food so that he can be sustained and grow and develop. We must daily go to the Heavenly Father, to our Lord, and ask and receive from him wonderful strength and encouragement from his word. To daily overcome the trials and discouragements of one day in this barren world that's all around us, even at this moment, we know we can never sustain ourselves alone. We need the Father's power, his comfort, his wonderful spirit flowing through us. We must gather our spiritual food by studying and attending meetings, by taking advantage of the bountiful feast of fat things that we have set before us at a convention, that we can be nurtured and developed in a way pleasing to him. Let's remember that we are co-laborers working together, dear brethren. We're being shaped and prepared and developed right now by the Father to have his saints to be pillars in the glorious spiritual temple where God will dwell and the world of mankind will approach God in this temple and receive divine blessing. Remember the wonderful lesson concerning this temple? We can then think of the church as the temple under construction. And as we meet at gatherings such as this, we check our plans. We see how we fit into the pattern of the stones that our Lord has drawn up and how we conform each day to our Lord's example. That we can conform to his plan for us. That we can give up more of our will to do his will. That we are totally submissive to him. Remembering how beautiful this temple will be when all the stones are brought together as living stones beyond the veil by the resurrection power. And this was so well illustrated by the beauty of Solomon's temple. The stones of which were so well prepared at that quarry and then assembled for construction so perfectly shaped and marked for their varying places at the temple that they came together without the sound of a hammer, without the need for further chiseling or shaping at the time of construction. So says Paul, the church is God's workmanship, Ephesians 2:10, Revelation 21:3. We also see the importance here again of every member of the body of Christ. It takes all working together to make an ecclesia, a meeting, and a convention a success. Every effort and part in this gathering is of equal importance. And brethren, let us examine, let us conform, let us submit to the wishes he has for us during this convention. For he hath abounded toward us all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mysteries of his will. Ephesians 1:8. We also pray for you that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy unto the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1:9 and 10. Brethren, let your hearts be knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to this wonderful acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, which we have access to right now, this day. Colossians 2:2-3. Those that accept Christ are the meek, the poor in spirit, those who have this teachableness, this willingness to serve, who become rich in many things and will be even richer in the future as spirit beings, who have been more than conquerors and overcomers and who have proven faithful by his wonderful grace. With this in view, I believe each of us will endeavor more earnestly to appreciate the efforts of our co-laborers. We'll extend the right hand of fellowship to our brethren we have known for years, as well as those that are new to us who are attending this convention for the first time. Let us all make them feel warm and welcome and loved. If we are parents, let us not forsake the opportunities that are provided for the studies for our children in the various age groups. Let us see to it that our children attend these meetings. We know that many hours of preparation have gone into them. May each child or adult realize that we are guests here at Albion College. May our daily doings reflect that we have been with Jesus, that we are of this household of faith, that we have a character that's striving to be faithful and pleasing to Him. Dear brethren, these 6 days are set before us. What we derive from them is up to each one of us. From Psalm 95, O come, let us sing unto the Lord, and make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come unto Him, and make a joyful noise with psalms. Come unto His presence with thanksgiving. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. Psalm 97:11. Light is sown for righteousness, and gladness for the upright in heart. And as we look forward, dear brethren, to this day of blessing, to those which will succeed it, I leave you with these further words of David from Psalm 119:76-77. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word, unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live. May the Lord bless you all.
Thank you, Brother Mike, for those words of encouragement and those words of welcome.